Today's sermon entitled, Surely, Surely, Gathering Round. When I was planning our next sermon focus way back in June, I had an idea of what I would address. The life lessons found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, a tiny little book in the back of the Bible. So after prayer and reading the text and meditating upon it this past week and what it had to teach us, I couldn't help but think about a friend of mine whom I said goodbye to a week ago Friday. My friend Shirley was an ever-presence on the right side of the sanctuary at my former church, just underneath the balcony each and every week. She would sit if she was able. She would sit there with 3 out of 5 of her daughters, ages 40 to 60-ish, several grandchildren, and a growing number of great-grandchildren. Friends and family gathered around Shirley as she worshiped God. For many years, she joined us, first at the contemporary worship. She just loved the spirited nature of the band, but would also stay to participate in the choir at the 11 o'clock service. Shirley kept up this routine until her legs were no longer strong enough to carry her into the choir loft. That was probably less than 10 years ago. But when she was able, folks gathered and equipped Shirley so that she could lift her voice and worship to God. Now, Shirley's passing was not a surprise, necessarily. She had left the Laurels, that was a home she was being treated in, and went home then with hospice care. From the Laurels, then, to her home, folks always gathered round Shirley. There were certainly tears, and there was certainly sadness, but there was also a lot of joy as she prepared to leave us. She emitted an uplifted spirit. She was thankful for her time here, yet she was ready to say goodbye. Now, Shirley was no saint. She was kind of a rascal. That's why my husband and I loved her so much. She would pull your leg whenever she had a chance and liked to call folks silly names and things like old fart, you know. She had a long list of boyfriends, of which my husband Paul was one. She was kind of a human wink, if you can imagine. In her earlier years, she was known to be quite a dancer, and even when wheelchair-bound, folks would gather around Shirley to spin those wheels on the dance floor. Yes, Shirley loved to dance. She loved to sing. Shirley loved to live. And those who gathered round Shirley learned how to do the same. Wow. To have a life as blessed as Shirley's, right? Well, we'd be half off. Shirley's life was riddled with struggle. She was a mother of many, and struggles just come naturally. Existing on a modest, at best, income, she witnessed, yet tirelessly supported her children throughout their familial strain, and it was tough. There never was a shortage of discourse under her hoof and roof. She took in orphan nephews, grandchildren. She opened her home to dozens and dozens of neighborhood children. Yes, crisis often gathered round Shirley, too. Shirley's family and family extended broke her heart at times, worried her sick at others. Not to mention her very own challenges. There was her chronic asthma, knee replacement, diabetes, countless infections due to the above, and even cancer. But those who gathered round Shirley learned that even with a little, be it money or energy, you can give a lot. Shirley had a way of returning to a spirit of abundance, a heart filled with gratefulness for each one of those ornery kids and their shenanigans. Shirley's love never wavered. Her joy always found its way back to infect those who gathered round. In her lifetime, it was a rare moment that she did not appreciate the gift of life granted to her. And without an iota of apology, she let you know where that joy and hope and strength originated. From her great God and a faith rooted in Christ. So last Friday, friends and family have surely gathered. I was asked to speak a bit, sing a little, and remember deeply. I have to say I was sad and I was weary when I woke up on that morning. And then I walked into the sanctuary and I saw the beautiful casket spray. The photos of my friend from a time long before I knew her. I read her high school profile, which lifted my spirit. I was still learning and being blessed by a woman even after her passing. The church began to fill with generations of faces, coming together not only for themselves, for the family, but for Shirley in the sanctuary where she spent a lifetime of Sundays worshiping her God with joy. And now I stand here eulogizing my friend to you who do not know her, because surely my memories of Shirley will remind you of a Shirley in your life, a teacher in how to live and worship with abundance and joy, I'm quite certain there are a few Shirleys among us in this place. Maybe you're the Shirley in the life of another. Oh, how I pray that when folks speak of you, and speak of me, we disciples of Christ, they will speak of our lives being lived in such a way. Because when folks gather to say goodbye, if they cannot readily and easily speak of the spirit of abundance and joy we presented, you know, when they gather at the river, if they have little to say about effect and positive presence we had in their lives, oh, friends, then I'd say we fell short of living, teaching, loving in the way God had hoped we would. Because when people gather around us, they are learning something. So pardon me for talking about a lady you'll never meet. Well, at least on this big blue marble. Because her heart print in my life is deep and not easily brushed away. Those who knew her knew a bit more about God and living as a follower than they did before, because she was bold with the gifts God gave her. Fond memories and good lessons were received when one gathered round Shirley, a living lesson, just like those that lived around the Apostle Paul and his young student Timothy, to whom this letter was written, and also those who gathered around a couple of Shirleys in Tim's life, his mother and grandmother. Let's have a listen. From 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 in part. Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you, the God I worship with my whole life and the tradition of my ancestors. I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. Keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for God, our Master, or for me. We can only keep on going, after all, by the power of God, who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated life, vindicated in a steady blaze of light, all through the work of Jesus. This is a message I've been set apart to proclaim as preacher, emissary, and teacher. It's also the cause of all this trouble I'm in, but I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. So keep it your work, this faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It's as sound as a day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. So here's Paul writing to someone who he probably will not see again, making sure that Tim knew just how important he had been to him. Now think about that for a minute. Apostle Paul, a pretty important guy, writing a lesser known, some may perceive a lesser than, stating that the way that Tim lived his life mattered to him. It would be like a principal in a school, writing a teacher, better yet, writing a student, saying, "You have taught me how to be a better person by your power of example." Amazing and touching, really, to receive such praise from a higher up, right? Saying to this one, "You keep me going just by being you," or "You being the you God made you to be helps me to be a better me." Surely, Shirley was whom God needed her to be, and is surely the same for you and me. God needs you to be you. God's got his eye on you and your specifics. God knows that only you can be you and touch the folks in your life. He needs you to be all that you can be. It kind of leaves you wondering, doesn't it? How you're doing? Well, let's just take a little bit of time looking at it from a Tom Sawyer perspective, if you know what I mean, showing up for your own funeral. When you are remembered, how are you remembered? What impression do you leave? What do you leave in your wake? What kind of person will you be remembered at your wake? If you are afraid to look behind you, or even around you, if you prefer to discount your effect on this world, I stand here to chide you a bit. You are too important to discount. Your choices are too important to ignore. Each choice you make affects many. Each giggle, each curse, each gesture of kindness, each affliction of anger and hate, each person you choose to forgive or choose not to forgive. Every time you choose dismay over joy, each time you choose destruction over building up, separation versus embrace, each time you choose to gather with the ones you love or choose to walk away. In the end, whether there be a moment of reckoning and reconciliation, I know this. Folks will gather to remember you. When they do, how will you be remembered? How will folks speak of how you and who you were while you waltzed or sock-hopped on this earthly dance floor? Oh, may you be remembered well. I surely hope we all are remembered well, as was Shirley.